It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, the Packers saw a disappointing end to their season last weekend, and now many fans are asking if Aaron Rodgers will stay or if he'll go. We'll talk to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Packers beat reporter about that and hear your thoughts. First, after more than 27 years in the U.S. Supreme Court, Justice Stephen Breyer is planning to retire at the end of this term. Breyer is one of the court's three liberal justices. He's 83 years old. His retirement means Biden gets to appoint his successor and maintain the court's 6-3 conservative majority. The two addressed reporters at the White House earlier today. Biden talked about his plans for the nomination.
While I've been studying candidates' backgrounds and writings, I've made no decision except one. The person I will nominate will be someone with extraordinary qualifications, character, experience, and integrity. And that person will be the first Black woman ever nominated to the United States Supreme Court. It's long overdue, in my view.
The news came out just as a new national poll from Marquette University Law School was coming out. It asked people how they felt about the Supreme Court, including Justice Breyer. It also got into issues like abortion, the Biden administration's performance, Congress, the 2024 presidential race, COVID-19 and vaccinations, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to Justice Breyer's resignation? What are you looking for in a replacement from President Biden? How do you feel about the current makeup of the court? Should justices declare their views on specific cases when they're getting confirmed? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll get into some non-court related results in a little bit. Charles Franklin is professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's the co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Well, we didn't know this was coming yesterday. You didn't know when you're out in the field with the poll, but you looked back at some of your polling where you asked people what they knew, what they thought of Supreme Court justices. Justice Breyer does stand out in kind of a weird way.
Well, he stands out consistently as the least well-known justice. We've been doing these national polls about the court since 2019, and in every one of them that we've asked, he has been the least well-known. In this current poll this month, only 21% were able to say whether they had a favorable or unfavorable view of him. Now, among those with an opinion, 14% said favorable and 7% unfavorable. So a 2-1 favorability rating, but of just this tiny 1/5 of the public. I think part of this stands out because while Breyer has been consistently a member of the liberal wing of the court, people on the left have focused far more on Sonia Sotomayor or earlier Ruth Bader Ginsburg as someone they paid attention to, and both of those justices were much better known, Sotomayor by 50% of the public in this latest poll. And on the right, Clarence Thomas stands out as the best-known justice, and especially among folks to the right. So in these ways, you can kind of understand why Breyer would be little known. While he's this consistent liberal, he's not been the sort of focus of liberal attention, or for that matter, conservative opposition.
Now, stepping away from your poll for a moment, do you have thoughts on this 50-50 Senate majority? The vice president, Kamala Harris, would be the tie-breaking vote, not filibusterable, if that's a word, under rules changes under former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. What are you looking at with the politics of this appointment?
Yeah, I think that it's likely that the Democrats hold together. While the Democrats have been split on some policy issues like the Build Back Better proposal, Democrats have been united in backing Biden's court appointments so far to other courts in the last year. So I expect that to hold together. I think a question would be if any of the Democrats have problems with the nominee, then that could produce real trouble. And secondly, it's a little unclear to what extent, if any, Republicans will try to delay a decision. I expect the confirmation to go through But, you know, let's never say we know what the future is going to bring.
Now, these events, confirming a Supreme Court justice, very polarizing, at least in the Senate and the political world. When you polled Americans about what their views on the Supreme Court, did you find that kind of polarization reflected in any way?
Oh, we certainly do. We see it in approval of the job the court is doing, where approval has fallen from 66% approving back in 2020 before Justice Ginsburg's death to 60% this July, but then a sharp downturn to 49% in September, and it's slightly higher, 52% approving now. And not surprisingly, as with so many things, there's a bit of a partisan divide. 60% of Republicans approve, 45% of Democrats, with 52% of independents. So there is definitely a party divide there, and no doubt on a nominee and a confirmation hearing, we'll see sharp partisan divisions as well.
One of the big issues people are waiting for from the Supreme Court, a big case on abortion laws that could really potentially change things, could effectively overturn Roe versus Wade in the country. This is one of the issues you were polling people about, and you asked it a couple different ways, a couple different scenarios. What kind of things did you learn?
Yeah, and so it's complicated is the simple way to put it. Because when we ask whether you would like to overturn Roe versus Wade, thus striking down the right to an abortion, only 28% of this national sample would like to see Roe struck down. 72% are opposed to striking it down. But the case that's before the court this spring is a Mississippi law establishing a ban on abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. That's about 9 weeks shorter than the current standard. But here the public is evenly divided. 49% would uphold that 15-week ban, and 51% would strike it down or oppose to it. Finally, Texas passed a law this summer, SB 8 it's called, which establishes a ban after effectively 6 weeks of pregnancy. And there, only 28% support that law, 72% are opposed to that law. So you see this sharp range from 72% support for maintaining Roe, but an even divide on a 15-week ban, but then 72% opposed to that 6-week Texas ban. So clearly with abortion, it matters a lot what the context is and what the limitations are that we're talking about in terms of whether the public supports or opposes those policies.
We're talking about the latest Marquette University Law School survey with Director Charles Franklin. We're going to move on to some other issues after the break, including how people around the country feel about President Biden's performance, about vaccinations, about whether former President Trump should run for re-election. We'll talk more about the retirement of Justice Stephen Breyer and the future of the Supreme Court tomorrow from 4 to 4:30. Right now, you could join us at 800-642-1234. Just listed a few of the topics. How do you feel about the job President Biden is doing? What do you want to see him do in his second year in office? Who would you like to see run for president, maybe on the Republican side in 2024? How big a threat do you think COVID-19 is to the nation, to your community? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. We're talking about the latest Marquette University Law School survey. They polled people from around the country on the U.S. Supreme Court, the 2024 presidential race, President Biden's performance, Congress, COVID vaccinations, and more. Charles Franklin stays with us, professor of law and public policy at Marquette, director of the poll. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll ask you a couple of the questions they asked Americans. Who do you want to see run for president on the Republican side? Do you want to see former President Trump try for another term in 2024? Do you see COVID as a big risk in your community? Why or why not? What do you think of the performance of President Biden and or Congress? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. All right, just covered a lot of ground there, Charles. Let's start with the president's approval rating.
Yeah, that has fallen as it has steadily fallen in other polling since the summer. We have him down now at 46% approval. He was at 58% approval at the beginning of the summer. And so a pretty substantial decline. And that decline is across partisan groups. Most importantly, Biden has fallen by 13 points among Democrats since the summer, from 96 to 83. And he's fallen by 15 points among independents, from 57 to 42. Republicans have been below 20%, and it's bounced around but not really trended. So you can see that the Biden drop-off in job approval is really being driven in the Democratic and the independent categories, and to about the same extent in both of those. The other thing was support among black respondents fell from 88% in July, declining each month we did the poll, to now 57% approval in the January poll. Among Hispanic respondents, there's been very little change. And among white respondents, there was a drop by 10 points over the summer, but that's been stable in the late fall and now in January at just 40% approval.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jody joins us from Appleton. Jody, hi.
Hi. I have just wanted to say that I have voted Republican in the past and am just so tired of this Trump thing. If Republican Party supports him and he is back on, I will never vote Republican again.
Jody, thanks for the call. Charles, this is something you were asking people about. What did you find, especially amongst Republicans, or it sounds like Jody might be in that leans Republican Party. She didn't say she always voted Republican. What did you find when you asked them about the idea of former President Trump trying to be future President Trump?
Well, the first thing is that President Trump remains very popular among Republicans, and that needs to be appreciated. Of Republicans, 74% have a favorable view of him, 25% unfavorable. But also among Republicans, 63% would like him to run again, 37% would not. And I think that gap between 74% favorable but 63% wanting him to run again shows a little bit of the divide here within the party, not across parties, but in the party. Donald Trump remains a very popular figure in the party, but the appetite for him running again is a bit less. Now, if we had a primary today, he'd be the odds-on favorite to win it, I think, but there is some shifting, and I think the reason we're asking these questions now is to try to understand the potential divisions within the party, exactly like the caller had to say. Where are the splits inside the traditional Republican Party, and how are Republicans looking on potential other candidates for 2024?
You floated one potential candidate that people are talking about, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, I think kind of as a test case for a non-Trump candidate. What did you find when you pulled Republicans for favorability and also then when you matched them up against President Biden?
Yeah, and in a matchup, in favorability, DeSantis is not nearly as well known as Trump at this point, but DeSantis gets a 52-11 favorable-unfavorable among Republicans. With Trump, it's 74-25, so there's more. But that Republican favorability is a 5-1 ratio for DeSantis and a 3-1 ratio for Trump. So DeSantis has the potential to grow a lot more favorability there. When we match up against Biden for this same reason, we see that DeSantis gets 33 to Biden's 41, and Trump gets the same 33, and Biden goes up a shade to 43%. So DeSantis, even as little known as he is right now, is running at least as well against Biden as Trump is, and within the party, DeSantis would get 81% of the Republican vote versus Biden, and Trump would get 77% against Biden. So again, DeSantis running at least as well as Trump.
And of course, it matters where votes are cast. This was a nationwide poll. Were you able to break down state by state?
No, we'll wait for the Wisconsin poll in a month or so to start looking here in Wisconsin.
Now, you also asked people about their thoughts on COVID-19, whether they thought it was a threat in their community. What kind of things did you hear?
The thing that is so striking here is maybe not surprising, but concern has fluctuated, has ebbed and flowed with the actual spread of the virus. So in September, when we were still at the high water mark for the last wave, the Delta wave of COVID, 68% said it was a serious problem. In November, when that wave was gone or largely gone and Omicron had not started, the serious problem dropped from 68 to 50%. But now, with Omicron at its peak at the time we were in the field last week, 69% said it was serious. So these numbers do track the movement of the virus. And if we break it down and look at it state by state, we see that within states, the seriousness, the perceived seriousness, rises and falls with actual cases.
And briefly, the partisan split on that, just in our last half a minute.
Yeah, we see a pretty big split. Republicans currently say it's 45% say it's serious. Independents say it's 64% serious. Democrats, 91% serious. So quite a big problem or difference between them, even right now at the peak of the virus.
Charles, as always, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
That's Charles Franklin, professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, director of the Marquette University Law School Poll. He's the co-founder of Pollster.com and founder of PollsandVotes.com. And we talked to him today about the latest Marquette poll on national issues, including the U.S. Supreme Court, abortion, vaccinations, and the 2024 race for president. We'll talk more about the retirement of Justice Stephen Breyer and what comes next tomorrow at 4. More than 10,000 people in Wisconsin have died from COVID-19. This month's spike in infections saw more Wisconsinites hospitalized with the disease than at any time since the pandemic began. This week, WPR is sharing stories of how the pandemic has been felt by Wisconsinites in their own words.
My name is Terry Erdman. I'm 56 years old. I live in the Pulaski area in northeast Wisconsin. I'm a public school teacher, so our entire career got blown up in March of 2020. Going to virtual was extremely taxing. The end of June, I picked up COVID and I got real bad pneumonia. I was able to pull through that. And then about a month later, I kept having this pain in the top side of my heart. And we went to the long haul clinic in Green Bay for COVID. And the doctor there, she ran EKG and she says, your right ventricle is not working correctly. So I was getting one good heartbeat, then a pause of longer than normal. And then my heart would do almost looks like a double beat. And it was making me extremely lightheaded, very forgetful. And it was scary. If things don't improve greatly, they're going to throw a pacemaker in me. And some people have told me, no big deal, pacemakers, I'm 56 years old. I really don't want to be connected to a battery the rest of my life. When you watch the news and you hear people saying that this is a hoax, this is just like the flu or the common cold, I'm like, yeah, for some people it is, and some people, it's killing them.
I'm Cassandra Ambrosius. I live in Kronenwetter with my husband and our 11-month-old baby. I had COVID in December of 2020. I came down with what I thought was just a head cold, kind of bad sinus blockage. And then New Year's Eve, I went to eat a muffin and I was like, this muffin is stale, I can't taste it. And immediately had complete loss of taste and smell. I have had no return of anything in more than 12 months now. So like I've never smelled my own child, right? Like in this time on earth, I don't know what he smells like, but I think my brain has created an association with what I think the baby smell is like. So when I am around him and I smell him or I give him a kiss, like I can sense that. It's almost like my brain has created a new smell association, but it's not actually there. Of the long hauler symptoms, I'm glad I can breathe. I'm glad I can still exercise and don't get winded. You know, I'm glad I'm still here. So of course it could be worse, but I don't think anyone would be willing to lose their taste and smell.
Carol, my name is Carol Schumacher. This is my Dene Navajo given name. I live in Sun Prairie. I'm originally from Arizona, off the Navajo Dene Reservation. Early April, my sister ended up in the hospital. After a week, she wasn't getting any better, and she got sent out because the small hospital on the reservation didn't know what to do. They weren't prepared for this virus. And then her son, my nephew, ended up getting sick. By late April, I had quite a few family members in the hospital. Like dominoes falling, it was just one after the other. In December of 2020, I lost 12 family members. It was three or four every weekend. We were putting them away, sending them off. No proper goodbyes, no proper service. Trying to raise money for the cost, trying to understand this, trying to process our losses. My niece passed away January 10th of this year. That's 27 family members that we lost this past summer. It hit me really hard how much this virus has altered our lives. Each day I have a name I hold. Gee, Sam, Amelia, Nez, Gloria, Smith, Herbert, Benali, oh, so much more.
We'll hear more from Wisconsinites about their experiences during the pandemic later today and tomorrow here on Central Time. There's more to come on Central Time coming up on the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new study has found that giving low-income families monthly cash is correlated with better brain development for their babies. We'll talk to a couple of the researchers involved. Now, after the Green Bay Packers' disappointing playoff loss last weekend, many fans are wondering about Aaron Rodgers' future with the team. Rodgers acknowledged those questions after Saturday's game. Here he is at a post-game press conference.
It's going to be a tough decision. A lot of things to weigh in the coming weeks, but man, just so much gratitude for this city and this organization and such a long career here.
It's been a rocky season off the field with a controversy last November over Rodgers' vaccination status and a preseason filled with disputes between Rodgers and team management. What would it mean for the Packers to lose their MVP quarterback? We're talking about that now, and you can too at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Rodgers stay, or do you want to see him go? Did the controversy about his vaccination status change the way you feel about him? How important do you think he is to the Packers? Are you ready for a post-Rodgers era? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tom Silverstein is the Green Bay Packers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. Tom, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be with you.
Well, Rodgers has another year left in his contract, as I understand it, but NFL contracts are tricky. Is he really, does he have some mobility when it comes to staying or leaving?
Yeah, he does. The biggest change in his contract from last year is that they removed the final year. And so this 2022 is his final year. And so the Packers have to make a decision. They have to decide, okay, are they going to re-sign him so that they he doesn't leave in free agency next year and they don't get anything? Or do they trade him? Because if they don't trade him and they don't redo his contract, he's probably not coming back. So I don't know. It's a tricky situation, but a lot of it's going to just really kind of the balance of it is how he and the general manager, what their discussions are going to be in the coming weeks.
We heard from Gabe on Facebook who says, if we can get a king's ransom trading away, well, that's probably the prudent thing to do. Tom, you wrote about this saying, yeah, that might be the right answer. Trade Rodgers, build up the defense that ended the season pretty strong.
Yeah, and here's the thing. So if they re-sign Rodgers at a market value contract, it's not going to leave them much money to do anything else. And so they could re-sign Rodgers, they could re-sign Davante Adams, but that means some of their really good players are going to have to go. Some of their free agents, they won't be able to re-sign. Devondre Campbell, who was an absolute blessing to their defense this year. Cornerback Rasul Douglas, tight end Robert Tonyan, wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling, wide receiver Alan Lazard. They would have to restructure a whole bunch of contracts, and they may have to cut a couple guys like Za'Darius Smith. So every penny you spend is accounted for, and they have to make that decision. Bringing Rodgers back, does that give them a chance to win it all next year?
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nate is with us in Sauk City. Nate, hi.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm a big Packer fan, season ticket holder, and so on. I was very disappointed with Aaron. I think he should learn a lesson from this, that you need to be franked, and you need to think about not only the fact your own personal point of view, but you think about your role as a as a personality. A lot of people, of course, follow him, pay attention to him, respect him. And what he did was really dangerous to a lot of people's health.
And you're talking about the vaccination statements in particular here, Nate?
Yes, I am. I think he totally failed to be credible in the way he dealt with that. I'm not saying he shouldn't be back as quarterback. I think there's two different things there, his public image and his ability to play football.
I gotcha. Nate, I want to give a listen to Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee Show this week talking about blowback from this issue, the vaccination controversy. Here's a listen.
There were a ton of people tuning in, rooting against us for one reason and one reason only. It's because of, my vaccination status and them wanting to see us lose so they could pile on.
Now, listening to Nate, I don't think he wanted the Packers to lose by any means, Tom, but how big a deal is this? How, or when it comes to Aaron Rodgers' future in the NFL, the whole hullabaloo over his vaccination statements and status?
Well, I think if you're a team that's considering trading for him, you have to consider it. I mean, he's got his own agenda and he's got a medium for it, which is the McAfee Show. And he can go on there and say pretty much anything he wants and not be challenged on it. And so, yeah, I think that's something teams will think about, but talent kind of overweighs everything in most cases. And I don't think it'll hurt him, but I do know in Wisconsin that, just based on anecdotal evidence, that there's a lot of people who have turned on him. And I don't think it's just the vaccination. I think if it is the vaccination, it's that and the fact that he hasn't held up his end of the bargain in the playoffs. So if you're going to talk all that, and have a strong opinion and you're going to hold out during the off season and say you're not happy, it's a really good thing to come back and win a Super Bowl. So he wasn't able to do that. And I think that that's hurt him in public opinion. And I don't think it's just because of the vaccination stand.
Thanks for that call, Nate. Here's a couple point counterpoint from our Facebook page. Lisa writes, his preseason behavior and lying about being vaccinated and receiving special treatment was really unbecoming. Lisa says, I expect more from a sports star. I am so utterly disappointed. Christopher writes, I think our fan base as Green Bay fans have become very polarized and hateful towards the man. I believe to this day he still is one of the best quarterbacks Green Bay has been lucky to have. We are talking about Aaron Rodgers and his future with the Packers or elsewhere. Tom Silverstein is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Glenn is with us in Toma. Glenn, hi.
Yes, I was listening to your program. I'm originally from San Diego. I've been in football, well, pretty much all my life. I played semi-pro ball for the Bears for a few years.
Wow.
But the reason I'm calling is you need Rodgers, you need Adams, and you can't really blame the loss of that game on Rodgers. That is the most – that's poor excuse. Your special teams has been lousy all year. They haven't really they've let guys go to the 30-40-yard line pretty much every game. You know, it's hard to beat even an average quarterback on the opposite team when you let them start out at the 40-yard line. Come on, guys.
Glenn, thanks for the call. Tom, Aaron Rodgers' performance in the regular season, no question, one of the greats of all time. In this playoff game, what do you think of what Glenn had to say?
Well, you know, you're great. The best players, your greatest players, overcome all kinds of odds. And if you watched the Buffalo and Kansas City game, those two defenses were exhausted. And, you know, both were liabilities to their team. And what happened? The quarterbacks just took over the game. They just became so good and raised their level of play. And the thing about it, you know, the week before, the 49ers had a punt blocked. Their special teams was under huge criticism, and yet they won the game. And it's because, you know, in certain situations, yeah, one part of your game is not going to play well. It's pretty likely that's going to happen. But when you have an MVP quarterback, he's supposed to be able to overcome those kind of things. And I don't think he played to the standard that we saw during the regular season.
Thanks for the call, Glenn. We're talking to Tom Silverstein, Green Bay Packers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's with us today to talk about the future of Aaron Rodgers. Maybe with the Packers, maybe not. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is Rodgers a crucial part of the team in your mind? Do you want to see him back for one more year? That's probably it. It sounds like if it is one more year, or do you think it's time to part ways? Do you base that on football performance or off-season controversies, during the season controversies related to Rodgers? Call in at 800-642-1234. Should he stay or should he go? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about what's next for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Tom Silverstein is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. We want to hear your thoughts, your feelings, your questions about the possibility that Rodgers may not come back to the Packers next year. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. If you just tried calling in and didn't get anything, we had a little glitch there. Try again. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go back to your calls now. Catherine is with us in Milwaukee. Catherine, hi.
Hello. I'm not a super fan of any team, but I have family members that were diehard fans of Aaron Rodgers. But his antics off the field, preseason, post, and post this championship attempt has turned everyone off, and he makes he offers no excuse for it, and he's given people more reason. It's unbelievable for him to say that people watched a game to cheer against him. That's just minimizing the intelligence of the fans. And what he has done is given people reasons to boo him post the game. That interview that he gave on the radio show that he goes on is horrible. And what I think Aaron Rodgers is in need of is a psychotherapist, because he wants to have his cake and eat it too. And he really doesn't make any sense. We don't know what he's unhappy about on any day.
Catherine, just briefly, your diehard family members who are super Packer fans, what'd they do this year? Did they watch the Packers root for the other 21 guys?
They watch every game, but you know, they are basically of the mind, it's time for him to go. He has insulted the management even before the playoff. I happened to hear an interview he gave that, you know, he's saying something about management, which should have been between management. This is after things have been smoothed out. So he's never going to stop. He's a petulant individual who is on some kind of ego trip. How on earth do you get to be the person with all the expertise and you've done your research? And then he says at the end of the interview on Tuesday, he hopes he's influenced somebody. We hope he hasn't.
Catherine, thanks for the call. Strong feelings there, Tom. If there's a significant portion of the fan base that feels, I don't know, a tenth as much as Catherine does about Rodgers, is that a sign to maybe start something new next year?
Yeah, I think it is for him, that maybe a fresh start would be going to a place where he'd be adored once again. Now, I think he's wrong that people were cheering for him to lose because he wasn't vaccinated. I think maybe non-Packers fans were, but I don't believe Packer fans were cheering against him. I think for the most part, they wanted a Super Bowl more than anything and would be more than willing to forgive him for everything he pulled off if he won a Super Bowl or led them to a Super Bowl. So I think he's wrong there. And, you know, he lives in a bubble, as do many of these guys. You know, they don't have a real good grasp of what regular people go through or what buzz is around the street or how people view things. And he's obviously entitled to his opinion on all of this. But what I think bothered most people was that he was so misleading with his facts. You know, as they say, you're entitled to your opinions, but not your facts.
Thanks for the call. We'll go next to Josh in Oak Creek. Josh, hi.
Hi, everybody. My comment is that Rodgers, I like what the lady said a second ago, that he wants his cake and eat it too. He would want Devontae Adams and Jones to stay with him. And if the Packers were able to do that, as you said earlier, there would be an entire different staff around him to even financially make that happen. So assuming that they did make that happen, he also has made it abundantly clear that he will not be part of a rebuild. So even if he got Devontae Adams himself and Jones to stay, and maybe Cobb, because he had to have him, he's not going to want to be part of the rebuild anyway. He's made it clear. So therefore, as much as I'm an avid Packer fan, watching every year, watched every game, love Rodgers, he's got to go.
Josh, thanks for the call. And Tom, you were hinting at that earlier. Even if Rodgers stays, because of the way the salary cap works, we're going to be watching a very different Packers team next year, one way or another.
Yeah, so your caller brought up a good point. Randall Cobb will not be with the team next year. His salary cap number's too high. They're not going to bring him back. They want some younger guys to come through. Mercedes Lewis, one of his favorite players, probably won't be back. They can't afford him. And they need to move on from, you know, these guys who are in their upper 30s, even though Mercedes Lewis is a great human being and a great blocker, but you know, it's at some point you have to move on. He's going to lose Mason Crosby, one of his guys who's been with him longer than anybody else on the team. He's going to be a salary cap casualty. So it's going to be him. It's going to be Devontae Adams. And then who knows who else. And he did say he doesn't want to be part of a rebuild. And I think that's what the Packers are heading for.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the future of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Still time for your calls at 800-642-1234. Bruce joins us next in Trevor. Bruce, hi.
Hi. One real quick point. Isn't he worth more to the Packers now as someone to trade in order to get some talent that would be affordable? Secondly, he is not a cold weather player. He sucked that day, as did a lot of those Packers. The cold, they couldn't do it. The coach on the 49ers, he played a tape of the Packers losing to the Giants in Lambeau Field a while back. And he says, you know, a team that's ready to play football can go in there to Lambeau Field and beat these guys. And those guys believed in themselves.
Bruce, thanks for the call. That second point, Tom, Aaron Rodgers, Bruce says, not a reliable playoff season, cold weather quarterback that could really own Lambeau.
I believe there's something to that. So, you know, he made reference to the 2007 game, which Brett Favre was the quarterback in that game. Brutally cold game. And Brett Favre was, what, 37, 38 at that time? And he had the same problem. It was just, when you're that old, it hurts to play in that cold. It hurts us, you know, to walk. You know, it's not the same as a 27-year-old playing in that frigid weather. And I saw it with Favre, and I believe I saw it with Rodgers on Saturday night. I think the cold does affect him. He was a very good cold weather quarterback, an outstanding cold weather quarterback. He got really big hands. He could handle the ball. He could throw it through the wind. And age knocks that out of you. And maybe he's thinking about that too, about the next place that he wants to play.
Thanks for the call. Mary Beth joins us next in Gladstone, Michigan. Mary Beth, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that he has stayed too long. He reminds me of people who've stayed too long in whatever organization, and they start thinking more about themselves than the organization. And we could see this coming when he was interviewed by Aaron Andrews at the start of the season, when she asked him what his goals were, and he said to be happy, you know. And I thought, well, couldn't you say a winning season or, you know, whatever? But he talked about being happy, and I thought, here we go. This is a problem.
Mary Beth, thanks for the call. We're just about out of time, Tom, but that nothing wrong with wanting to be happy, I don't think. But the idea that, you know, the Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers organization, who is in the right or wrong? Do you have thoughts on that looking back?
It was, you know, there's fault on both sides. And I understand that some of the things that he was upset at, but I really think it all came down to them drafting Jordan Love. I don't think it had anything to do with anything else, that he felt disrespected by them picking Jordan Love, just like Brett Favre was upset when they took Aaron Rodgers. I think it's just a matter, I don't know. You can't win it's hard to win without a great quarterback. And if anybody who's been a Packer fan through the 70s remembers, It's brutal when you don't have a quarterback.
Or Bears
fans. that's why they took Jordan Love, and they thought that they would be able to transition into another great quarterback. So that's the dice they have to roll this offseason. Go with Rodgers or go with Love.
Mary Beth, thanks for the call. One tea leaf, Tom, a coaching change. A Packers assistant went to Denver in just our last half a minute. Could that be a sign of things to come for Rodgers?
That's a big deal. Just think about it. You know, if he were to have to go to another team, he might have to learn a whole new offense, or he'd be sort of a push and shove with the new coach. Here, he'd go in and they would hit the ground running together. So I don't discount it. Denver's got a ton of draft picks to deal with. They got a ton of salary cap space. I wouldn't rule it out.
Tom, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
You bet. It was a pleasure.
We've been talking to Tom Silverstein, Green Bay Packers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us today to talk about the Aaron Rodgers future, the Packers future, and whether they're going in the same direction. You can keep sharing your thoughts over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Bob writes, I hope he decides to retire before next season. Coming up tomorrow on the morning show, a lot of people have left their jobs, many of them retiring early. Get some advice on retirement during the pandemic. That's tomorrow morning at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Are you looking for a new job where you'll be treated like a king? Peel Island off the coast of England has a great opportunity for you. As reported by NPR, the local government there is looking for a landlord. The job involves managing the tourist island, including a pub called the Ship Inn. The benefits? The job comes with the title of King of Peel. Your royal powers are pretty limited, I understand, but there's a ceremony. After you get hired, you follow the ritual that goes back quite a long way. You sit in an ancient chair, put on a helmet, wield a sword, and then have alcohol poured over your head. If you get the job, Your Majesty, don't forget us common folk back here in Wisconsin. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.